101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and I actually have Erin Green with me. Apparently, Erin Green had an entire show, and she did not include me. I thought she had guests and stuff, so I said, until 11 o'clock. Little did I know, she expected me to know in her head that I was supposed to come up and join her in her Christmas giveaway. So I was robbing an entire 45 minutes of hanging with my good cousin, Erin. So that's okay, though. That's okay. I shall continue this part of the segment because today is the countdown to Christmas. It's a matter of days. Today is December 22nd, right? And it's minus. That's 3 days before Christmas. That's Friday and then a Saturday. And, of course, Christmas is Sunday. And the holiday exactly is on Monday. How many holidays do we have, Erin? I mean, is it just Monday or we get Monday and Tuesday? Monday and Tuesday. Well, go ahead.
The Monday would be for the Christmas, right? And the Tuesday would be for the Boxing Day, right?
You know, I did not look. I saw the listing, but yeah. I did not look in focus. But I like it if it's Monday and Tuesday, because remember, we're not back to work until Wednesday.
Look here, I think it just popped right up on my phone. Watch this.
Yeah.
No, it did not pop up.
No?
Okay.
But Monday and Tuesday? Kermit got blank. Okay, so it's Monday.
And I think if Kermit tell you that, that means we have to thank the Junkanoos for lobbying on our behalf.
Yes.
Because I sure this government was going to try pinch pennies
and say one holiday.
And only one holiday for the two public holidays.
Oh, okay, good. So I have a party on Monday, and I just need to find something to do on Tuesday. Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely.
That's good. But on this side of the show, and they're already getting up, I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, well, ask me a question.
Then I want to talk about Christmas.
Okay.
I want to know, like, your fondest memory. What is Christmas traditions in your house? And not just your house, because I know you have Family Island roots. The difference between a Nassau Christmas and a Family Island Christmas. What is what you would call a typical Bahamian Christmas, and what type of culture you've seen seeping in as part of our Christmas celebration. Please. And then anyone who wants to call and join in on that, I'd be happy to entertain you with that. Of course, we have some gifts that for the prizes giveaway that we'll be doing shortly. But I want to hear about what traditionally do you do in your household for Christmas. And when I say Christmas, I talk about the entire Yuletide season, which is that walked with. It's Christmas Eve, Christmas, and the days afterwards.
First thing we do is we put up the tree.
So you get a tree. What time do you put up your tree? There you go. Go on blank.
When we get time.
When you get
and
time.
Then usually, it used to be like early in December, but now it's usually like we just put it up last week.
So when does the Yuletide season start for you? But in my house, the Yuletide season start at Thanksgiving. American Thanksgiving. Then you see my wife turn on the Amazon, what do you call that, Alexa?
Yeah.
And we play Christmas music. We play Christmas music from then. And then I got to go up inside the manhole and bring down a Christmas tree. It might take a while to erect it, but it's in the living room.
Yeah. That's not, like, the part for us is you got to ask me when does the Yuletide season end?
Okay, go ahead. When is the Yuletide season
end? Usually like March when we decide to take down the tree. It's like, it's just beautiful. It's like a nice decoration. See, the people has put up the decoration, like Johnson Terrace had one nice little decoration. I just saying that's the area I live in, and it was great to not have to drive out of my neighborhood
to see the lights,
right? But when that is done, I'm the type of neighbor that will grace you with Christmas lights straight through to Easter.
Ah.
Yeah, so you don't feel...
So you don't take down your lights?
Why?
Whenever you put it up.
Yeah, why? Why take them down? They look good.
I take them up like January 10th.
I leave them up there. Yeah. And if I got them at like a good price, like I like to thrift, if I got them at a good price, then if the gardener accidentally cut them in March, we just got to get new ones.
Okay, this text is saying, we clean and replace things around the house like pillows, sheets, etc. Work. And when I was younger, my mother had a Christmas curtain.
Uh-huh.
It was a bright red and white curtain, thick, very thick. Mm-hmm. And I remember she would, before Christmas comes, she would take down all of the screens, clean all of the windows, and then she would erect these Christmas curtains, besides cleaning the house and stuff like that.
Yeah. you know what that made me realize? It's not my personal tradition because I've never been a homeowner, but it's something that I have recognized in Bahamian culture. Like every Christmas, mm-hmm. people just paint their house.
Yeah.
Remember? In fact, I thought like Leslie Miller was going to be like, if he's going to get an ambassadorship.
Yes.
He could be the ambassadorship of, I don't know, exterior design, ambassadorship of pretty houses.
It's good that you mentioned it. At one point in time, I thought that the government should, see how I given former politicians, parliamentarians contracts, mm-hmm. that they should have given Leslie Miller a contract to provide pastel color paint. Instead of giving people ham and turkey during the Christmas, let's do, say, everybody get
paint up your house.
And especially now we're going to the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
We give everyone free paint and the community come together and say, man, we'll paint your house. And everyone's house looks sprucey and bright pinks and yellows and lime green, right? I thought that should have been an initiative and that Leslie Miller had the cheap paint anyway.
Yeah.
Right? That maybe give you the contract. Get a special deal on the contract and make sure every Bahamian household who wants paint has access to paint, mm-hmm. and that would be more of a community effort.
And a better, a more strategic way to do it is to focus on landlords.
Go ahead.
Incentivize and encourage landlords to do the painting when tenants and homeowners would not necessarily have the funds to do it themselves, right? But like that's a start. That's a beginning. But listen, I've got a quick message.
Go ahead. What's your message?
Here. Nassau. You've been asking, and John West Shoe Company is finally here. All the way from Freeport, Grand Bahama, we're here to put shoes on your feet. We've got shoes for the entire family and for all occasions. From flats to heels, slides to safety boots, we've got your feet covered. Check us out today in the plaza behind Wendy's, Carmichael Road West. Telephone 603-SHOE. That's 603-7463.
Okay, good. Tomorrow, I'm hoping to get Junknu 242 on the radio just before Junknu.
Yeah.
They have committed and not committed. You know, when that's that loose. We come in, but that's
don't
one of those.
Don't worry. Just remember, your name is Bay.
Bay?
Junknu's will always get to Bay, buddy.
Yes, they'll get out to Bay. And yeah. So hopefully Arlene Nash comes on and then the two Darrens come on. So we'll see, because I want to ask them some tough questions and we'll see what's happening. But I know you rush, or you have rushed. I've seen you rush once or twice on scrap groupish, right?
Spirit, the greatest scrap group in history of Junknu white people in the whole world, sir.
Okay.
Except for the pigs and the Methuselahs.
But I already know your group. So I'll start off with that. Which group are you rushing this junk?
No.
And which group have you rushed before?
Spirit.
That's what the group was?
The greatest scrap group in the history of white people, the whole world, and Junkanoo.
Never heard of it.
And then when we finished with Shirley Street, the BC Shockers were always gracious enough
to allow you
to allow our group to join them to rush on Bay. I mean, they just was just gracious.
And,
like,
and
kindness.
I don't want to know that process. Because mind you, I work in tourism, as you know.
Yeah.
I have a number of guests who said, man, I want to rush.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, they can't rush for Saxons. They can't rush for Valley. They can't rush for one family.
Why you want to rush for them?
No,
you can rush for Spirit.
It's impossible for them to rush for them because they will mess up the sound. They'll mess up the look. Right? For these major groups, it's something different.
Yeah.
So no one who hasn't been to practice can rush for them.
You can get them that.
So the scrap group, right, is the only access to Bahamians who want to participate, right, but don't want to be formally or want to have that large expense. Or for tourists who come down there and say, man, I want to have an interactive Bahamian Christmas, right? First time I come to the Bahamas and I cannot participate in their tradition.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to market scrap groups. And I'm not sure, basically this whole question is, your group, is there a way for someone on outside to say, hey man, my family never rushed before. Can we pay you some money to rush with Joel and come on?
I want to say, like, it's not my group to organize that experience, but
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. One of the main, like, functions or purposes for the group that I rushed with was that Bahamians who lived abroad and wanted to come home and rush, right? Or Bahamians who were abroad in school, right? So they weren't, like, they're not estranged from the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So Bahamians who lived abroad and wanted to come home and rush, or Bahamians who were working temporarily wanted to rush, or Bahamians who didn't have a chance to really be a part of a Saxons or a Valley that require a certain level of commitment, skill, and dedication, that you could come and you could join our group. Mm-hmm. And we would make available, like, because you had to have something crepe paper on to get on the road. Mm-hmm. And we would make small pieces, mm-hmm. like headbands. That's where
And hat and a shoulder piece, maybe.
Not even as big as that, but that's where I started my the exhibition, the Junkanoo artwork that I do, mm-hmm. making small pieces for pretending. And so that's what that was about. But I really thought that the Junkanoo practice space, right, like the way the Junkanoo has evolved, mm-hmm. and now people can experience almost as full Junkanoo at a practice space.
Isn't that a spectator sport too?
Well, no. I think that practice space has a greater capacity for what it is that you're talking about, for bringing people in and having them experience Junkanoo. I'm thinking that tourists or someone visiting, returning resident or visitor, would feel more comfortable in the Junkanoo practice space, and they would feel less concerned that they would mess it up, mm-hmm. for the parade and mess it up for the group.
Is that happening now? Is it marketed as an option for tourists or what I call expat Bahamians, new Bahamians who've matriculated here to the Bahamas but want to experience Bahamiana but don't know how to transition to that?
I think I may have heard I'm not certain yet. I certainly don't think it's an organized practice shared among Junkanoo groups, right? Like your practice is the 14th. Mm-hmm. You're going to have this practice because they do practices on a different night, mm-hmm. which is another thing that's great, right? Mm-hmm. So I could go, I don't have to choose between a Saxon's practice and a Valley practice, right? Mm-hmm. The practice that's open to the public are on different nights, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's something that can operate across Junkanoo groups as well.
I see we have a caller here. We're going to pass the caller through. But after the caller speaking, I want you to read the next question. I see we have three sets of Dunkin' Donuts gift certificates.
Already done give some of them away, buddy.
You done? When did you do that?
When you wasn't here and you were supposed to be here.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
I'll make sure that happens. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, caller. Welcome to Garden Radio AM. I'm speaking with Erin Green today. She's my co-host. And we're talking Christmas.
Hey, Erin, how you all doing?
Good.
I just wanted to opine here. Sia, you said something very interesting that I've basically observed over the past three decades in the hospitality industry, and that is many of our guests come here to the Bahamas to watch Junkanoo. And in fact, before Junkanoo, even if you go up on Fort Charlotte, for instance, where they had, I don't know if they still do have it, there was a little section right there where they actually let you look at some of the artifacts, let you look at some of the cowbells and stuff, and some of the guests actually shook the cowbells. I think it would be quite interesting if someone would pick up the notion to do something like, you know, persons who, the visitor who comes. And
you know, Jeff, but Perry Christie intended with Junkanoo Carnival. It didn't work out that way. And people got upset. But the concept of what you were talking is the concept of Junkanoo Carnival. And actually, he had minor successes. But the persons could have come into the carnival, and there were sections of Junkanoo where they could have put on costumes and shake cowbells and beat the drum and heat the drum. And of course, you know, that died away because people said Junkanoo Carnival is an oxymoron.
And you're absolutely correct on that as well, because if you really recognize it well, you have some of our guests that actually carry home of the costume even after the parades would have ended. And that's where the other spin-off too would have happened. I think it was a vision where the pieces, the Junkanoo groups were allowed to sell their pieces off to guests that were interested in buying them. Mm-hmm. And that is the way how we can promote the Bahamas through our art. But you're onto something there. I love the concept. And I'd like to see if someone would pick up that concept. And like I was beginning to say, it'd be interesting if the JCMP perhaps would look at that concept as well and create a small space in there for persons on the sidelines who may have bought their little Junkanoo pieces and bought some cowbells and stuff and allowed them to get festivities. Just a thought I had. Okay.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
One last thing before I go that is strictly off topic. I'm asking the Ministry of Works. I know this is Christmas time now, and maybe no work will get done. But please come through Coxway and paint these speed bumps. These speed bumps are invisible to the naked eye until you ride up on them and you ride over them and you end up sailing into somebody's house or a car on the side of the road. Please come and put some white trash.
What street this is?
This is Coxway.
And where's Coxway?
Coxway is right after you pass Malcolm Road on East Street side. This is about two corners down from Checkers.
Okay.
On East Street.
Mm-hmm.
Two corners to the right. That's Coxway. That comes all the way from East Street down to Blue Hill Road South. All they got is speed bumps here. They must put some white triangles on these speed bumps because they're very invisible. Someone comes through here unbeknownst, they end up stealing into somebody's car, house, wall, or something. They got to do something with these speed bumps. Please go ahead and put the white triangles on these speed bumps.
Okay.
I've called for them before, but thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, pleasure. Aaron, go ahead.
Well, not just Coxway. Also, San Susie, they just put down some new speed bumps on
There's
San
some nice,
Susie.
Good speed bumps on San Susie.
I mean, you would think they're nice, good speed bumps on the surface. That's what they look like, except, like Jeff said, they're not painted. And then further to that, they need to have a fresh tar
road. I found entertaining with San Susie speed bumps. This is the first speed bumps I see on a hill.
Yeah.
And there are no speed bumps that can go on a hill.
I mean, I think we've seen them a couple of places, but imagine that you need a speed bump on a hill.
Yeah. Wow, they have a speed bump on a hill.
Yeah, I mean, see, you're focusing on the wrong thing. They have a need for a speed bump on the hill.
Yeah.
When you say it like that, then you get to say, okay, that's what's going on through there.
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, please drive with caution on San Susie Road. Yeah.
But I want you to ask a question. Let's give away some stuff.
All right, but I wanted you to select a question.
No,
okay.
You go down and listen, read selection, and read it, and we just give away stuff. I just want to give away things.
Okay. What famous Christmas carol became the first song ever broadcast from space?
So they played a song, a Christmas carol in space.
Yeah, which was the first Christmas carol they ever played in space.
So they played more than one Christmas carol in space?
Well, I don't know. They must have had a playlist. So you ain't going to go up there with just one song.
I don't know.
But which one was the first one? The question reads, what famous Christmas carol became the first song ever broadcast from space?
Okay, quickly Google that and call us up and then we get some prize.
The number is 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-9.
And, Aaron, I think Junknu itself is not a festival, but a parade. And I've debated this before, right? And
Junknu is a cultural experience. Boxing Day and New Year's Day, would we have parades, not festivals?
Okay, I see the way you try to distinguish the difference.
Junknu is a cultural experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something larger than just a one-day event.
I understand.
JCNP organizes parades that happen on Bay Street.
So the Junknu thing that happens on the 26th and on New Year's Day is a parade. And what I'm trying to express, because I understand the cultural thing that you say, and experience, and I agree with that. And what I'm trying to say that whatever happens on those days is not a festival.
No, it isn't.
And the reason why I say that, because it's not interactive, where I can partake in what is happening. Like you mentioned,
also,
buying trinkets and whatever it is. That does not happen at the two parades.
Do they have porta-potties? The first thing you need for a festival is porta-potties.
Well, they have porta-potties, yeah.
Do they?
I mean, you smell a strange odor on Shirley Street, but I mean...
That don't mean Shirley Street is a porta-potty.
That's a part of... anyway, we have a caller. That's a part of...
Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You calling to answer the question?
Yes,
ma'am. Are we ready for your answer?
Jingle bells?
Yes, sir. You got the correct answer.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Remember what to do. Give your name and your number to the producer, and we will contact you after the show and let you know what you've won and how to collect it. Now, see, at the same time as I picked up the call.
Okay.
So we're going to have to give them a consolation prize.
We have consolation prize to give a texter?
Yeah, man.
Okay, once we have consolation prize.
Use right poem.
Yeah, and we do that. How many more prizes we have? We have a couple more, eh?
Yeah.
A good sum? So then we go to the next question. So I ask you writing down the name of the texter to make sure we text them back and let them know when to pick up and how to pick up. And of course, as Kermit writes down the caller's name and cell number so we can call them and tell them when to come and pick up and what they want exactly, we'll do that. But continuing Christmas traditions and what happens. Watch this. Is Big Bang a part of Bohemian Christmas culture? Look at Kermit. Because everybody at work, even the set who don't gamble, are now putting 20...
What are you talking about?
You don't know Big Bang
How yet? Many Christians believe in the Big Bang Theory? How many Christians believe in evolution? What are you talking about,
sir? We're talking about two different things. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about two different things. Right?
I mean, possibly.
Possibly. But see, the reason why I say that, because it's a large number. One is like one or two people.
Yeah.
You say, okay. But it's like thousands of Bohemians.
See, when I had affairs on, right, I asked the question, John Canoe or Byron Lee and the Dragonairs? Right now, Byron Lee and the Dragonairs are soca.
Yeah, so
Calypso. But they became a big Bohemian Christmas tradition.
And to the point where the Prime Minister meeting them.
Right.
Before they come and perform.
And to the point where they accommodate Bohemian Christmas culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they get multiple performances. And they perform in up to John Canoe. Right? They're not clashing with John Canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they have become a part of the Bohemian culture.
So let me understand what you're saying. You're saying Byron Lee and the Dragonairs, that Calypso band...
Uh-huh.
Is now a part of Bohemian Christmas culture.
Well, we're talking 20 years ago easily, and I would have been on the tail end of that culture 20 years ago. But certainly, for a significant period of time, that culture was also, that was also a part of Bohemian Christmas culture.
So our Bohemian Christmas culture is now being permeated by, I'm not saying an outside force or a foreign force, but it has assimilated other cultures to make it a part of what it is.
Yeah, and that's sort of the way that culture works, right? Like, very rarely do we build something new. In most instances, a dominant culture forms over the top of that which already exists, right? And so I think the Dragonairs say, hey, people, you know, they need a little pregame.
Something that Jeff mentioned when he called, right?
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned that, or suggested, and I want to correct him, see how bold I am, that tourists comes to the Bahamas in December to experience John Canoe.
They come for the sun.
And I said, no, my theory is no, they don't come for John Canoe at all. Mm-hmm. John Canoe happens to be happening whilst they're here.
Yeah.
Right? And mind you, I'm being flippant with this conversation. And the reason why I'm being flippant in the conversation is until we start getting data to study here for John Canoe, we cannot make that claim.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because how many persons can we say purchase John Canoe tickets?
Well, listen.
They might get free tickets, but that's not purchasing the tickets.
And that's right? That's a real why, because you saw in today's paper, they say the Boxing Day parade is sold out entirely, completely. And I need to know
who buy
all them tickets, because you make a salient point.
PLP.
Maybe I should...
They buy all the tickets.
They
buy the tickets and give it to the PLP followers. And that's why I can't get no tickets.
I mean, have you verified this? Don't make me hang up on you like I had to hang up on the...
You see, come Boxing Day, you can see Joe Bett Colby in the front seat, Leslie Wright's coming in the front seat, all of them get all the good seats.
A few weeks ago, a couple of people, they didn't reach out to me, they reached out to the internet. And I saw them asking, where are the tickets? Because they're trying to purchase them and are unable to purchase them, right?
The entire PLP women branch could be there. Watch.
Now, I only half mad, because you're trying to vex me, right? I only half mad at the idea that the political class...
The young liberals can have free seats.
Like the political class would prioritize themselves above regular Bohemians and suggest to them, well, if you want the best seat in the house, then maybe you need to join a John Canoe group, right? That is ridiculous. But the idea that somebody has bought out John Canoe tickets, papers have given them to tourists without spending every cent of sweat ensuring that Bahamians have the greatest access, equal and equitable.
Well, we expect the hotels to buy some tickets too.
Yeah, but
give it to their
but
VIPs.
I want to know how they sell out every single Boxing Day ticket, and payday was just the other day. The people ain't run through their bills yet to buy John Canoe tickets.
You see how long the live line is? But anyway, we're getting on our break, our one break. And I wanted you to read one more question while people concentrate on it. So give us a couple of seconds, Kermit. You have any questions right now?
Yes. What country was the first to put up Christmas trees as a tradition?
Read one more time.
What country was the first to put up Christmas trees as a tradition?
And when we come back from our break, that's the question to answer to get one of these prizes. Anyways, it's been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri and, of course, Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Come board my rocket ship. Buckle up, let's ride. Get ready for the lift. I want to show you what the planets. Fly you to the moon. I want to send you into warp drive. Into the twilight zone. I want to orbit around Uranus. Open up the hatch. See if any life down there. Any crab I can catch. Cause I'll always be a behemoth, gal. Anywhere I go. Eating pot. I'm marching up some dough, gal. We heading into space.
And we head and we take and rake and scrape. Man, I love this song, though. It's a behemoth song, I think, needs to be taken to the world. Especially these songs would tell stories. And I find that any of our behemoth songs that would tell stories, we can compete with the world. And especially with that that bass beat in the background. And I call them, we need to have like a genre. What kind of genre we'll call that type of song? Where it has a story and have that dance rhythm. And with a fast dance rhythm, fast rake and scrape.
But like here for a second, I wanted to call it the Dirty Nago Rig, but that's a particular category of music. I don't know, but it have to be a genre, right?
It has to be a genre.
It ain't Phil Stubbs.
No.
It ain't Elon Musk.
No.
It ain't Ancient Man.
No.
It ain't that. But listen, let's get to the back to the question.
Yes, and we have a caller on the line. So caller, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
And you're calling to answer the question? You're okay, and speak up a little bit for me because I can't hear you that much. But I hope you win it.
We
give some. No, I can strain to listen to you. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Okay, it's Germany.
Yes, ma'am.
Look at you. Congratulations.
So you know what to do. Leave your name and number with the producer, and we will contact you after the show and tell you what you've won and how to collect it. Now, to Mr. Nuri, like I said, there was the caller and the texter texted in the right answer.
So you say you're going to give him a prize.
Right,
so
they can get a prize.
Him.
So the texter with the last number, with the last two digits, your number is 6565.
Yeah.
I will message you with what you've won, and that was for the Jingle Bells question.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to play that song, because a question I wanted to ask, who was the first Bahamian in space? And people say, but Aaron, Aisha Bowie ain't been to space yet.
Yeah,
she
no,
got into space.
No.
And I want to say, obviously, KB.
Yes, KB know about it.
Yeah.
With aliens.
KB say, look here, there's a chance we taking them little roach to space with us.
But let's continue our Christmas conversation, right? And we know we have Bahamian traditions. We already discussed that we tend to clean the house. We tend to put up new draperies and sheets.
Furnitures and paint it.
And you say paint the house,
right?
And mind you, in my neighborhood, the Smiths, who live next door, they paint every Christmas like clockwork.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not seeing a lot of Bahamians painted. Do you think that's because of the downturn in the economy? Or is it still something that we do?
Well, I think those who can afford it can, but I think with the downturn on the economy, mm-hmm. That's a lot of it. But I think there's been a shift in culture. I think landlords have shifted resources away from that sort of beautification part of the contract. And landlords are not investing as much money. And I think renters are hesitant to do it because some people would do it mm-hmm. if they felt like their contribution, you know?
Okay, I see we have another caller there. Producer patched the caller through. How you doing, caller? Welcome to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. How you doing today?
I'm fine, C.A.
Hey, man, what's up?
What's the next question? Who is the first being in space?
No, we ain't asked that question, but since you're here, I'll pause. I shall pause, have Aaron read a question, and then I pray. I did say pray to our Lord that you know the answer. But go ahead.
You ready, caller?
Yeah, if
someone gave you some Androsia, what would you do with it? I didn't say that, man. I didn't say that. Did I say that?
Okay, let's let it pause again so you can hear this question clearly.
I said, if somebody give you some Androsia, what would you do with it?
I'd wear it.
Correct. Correct answer.
Well, there you go. See what happens when you call in early?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, man. So what you do? So this is what you do. So don't know. I want you to do two things. I want you to... before you hang up, leave your name with the producer and your cell number so we can contact you. But before you hang up, I want to know, what do you do for Christmas, in preparation for Christmas?
What do I do in preparation for Christmas?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your family.
Well, the usual is decorating the whole time, like the paint. They like to cut the grass. And, of course, the usual is spend money for food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like to cook around this time as well. And the next one is spend money on gifts.
On December 26th, Boxing Day, what do you do?
December 26th, Boxing Day?
Yeah.
I treat it like a regular holiday. And then I like to sometimes stream Junkanoo.
Okay.
At night.
Okay.
Not on the night, but you get my point.
I understand it. But leave your name with our Kermit so we can get that prize to you. Okay. A question. You have a next question ready for me?
Yeah, man.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this question, then you ask your question. Don't answer my question.
Yeah, yeah.
You ask your question, and then you answer my question after you ask your question, right?
You're trying to train me to be a good woman.
There you go. That's how a good woman's supposed to be. Made me forget what I said. You are right. Right? Yeah. the gentleman I'm going to call back, right? But this is my thing. Soups, sauces, stews, is that part of your Christmas Yuletide season tradition?
Well, I am of the impression that souse is Bahamian Junkanoo morning and New Year's tradition.
So let me repeat that again. So you eat souse pre-Junkanoo as you're going into the parade.
Right, and I feel a little sacrilege because I want stew boil. That's when you get the boiled fish and mm-hmm. then you put a little bit of stew gravy in the boiled fish.
My cousin Gamal is the first one who introduced me to this stew boil because I didn't know what it would
come. I am not sure of the origins, but possibly this, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the people forget how to make stew fish.
Ah.
They forget that this primarily tomato-based dish and not a primarily a roux or burnt flour dish.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people forget that. Maybe it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I bougie. Maybe my people always had access to tomato mm-hmm. in a way that others didn't. Right? Maybe this is a part of our cultural culinary history we need to explore. But the stew is very thick, and a lot of people want to thin it out. Okay. Adding that little bit of stew gravy to that boil is making it just perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like my stew fish taste like stew fish. But I mean, I haven't
like
put in my, the stew
boil like
in my
tomato
mouth.
Or like tomato or like flour.
I've seen my cousin eating it. I've seen
you wouldn't even put it in your mouth?
I'd like my stew fish taste like stew fish.
You
and
sure?
And I want my stew fish dark. I don't like this.
The fish or the flour?
I like my flour dark.
But it ain't supposed to be enough flour in it for you to notice.
I want it burnt. I want it dark. I want it that dark.
Now, mind you, there is something about that flavor when mm-hmm. it's done properly.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell when it's a mistake
and
when it's done properly. Also, you know why people is add carrot to the thing? To all of the things now?
We need to add carrot to all the things, though.
They're going to tell you because it's pretty and it's an aesthetic delight. That's not why.
They make
for blind people. No. Carrots soak up salt.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
It's high season. So you just put a carrot there.
Put a carrot in and pull out the salt.
What about potatoes? Do they do the same thing?
Well, I think I used to think potatoes were a standard part of boiled fish.
No, I'm talking about the stew again. You going with this boiled fish?
I think it could have potatoes in it, yeah.
Okay. Let's go ask
you could put
next.
Okra in it to thicken it, you know, as opposed to flour. Because I think that's what you're supposed to put in it is okra.
But as you look for the next question, right?
Okay.
I find that on December 26th, the day after John Canoe, after everyone come home from John Canoe and you're tired and you go on sleep and you wake up around 7 p.m., 8 p.m. and there's nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Those who go to the shack, go to the shack. But I find that a number of persons who seek parties go and eat. They don't eat ham and turkey on the 26th. They tend to eat stew. That is in January 1st.
Yeah.
They do a lot of sauces and stews, whatever party it is.
See, I think it's also...
Yeah. Yeah, it's tradition. See, that's a Christmas tradition on January 1st.
Stew and sauce, boil up.
And go to church. Yeah, okay.
I mean, the church part, because you guys sober up before you go to church, so you got to get that good boil in you with the pepper.
Yeah. And after church?
After church.
After church. But I see I have another caller here. I'm not sure who this caller is, but let's Patrick call it through. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
See, Nui.
Hey, if you
do. This, man. This is your boy.
Hey, if you do. I know you recognize your voice.
Yeah, listen. Are you A-plus for the okra, right? And the stewfish, right? The old C.A. Nui know about that, but he claiming he from Turks, right?
I ain't tasting in my mouth. I don't like okra.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
The okra and the stewfish?
Mm-hmm.
Many people, listen, that's off the chain, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. Now, Mr. Nui, I got a, six or seven mulberry trees, right?
That's that yellow fruit, right?
Because I see he was giving out some plants. If you have any, you don't need it, but if you want it, I could give you one. I could just put it there and you could just get it.
He said yes.
Yes.
It's about 3 feet tall or more.
Yes.
Or 4 feet.
Yes.
And then what I want you to do is, before you go, just go and read up the effects of the ancient Chinese and Asians used to use mulberry tree for type 2 diabetes and diabetes in general.
Really?
So what? Yes, Aaron. I'm an avid reader.
Yes.
My mom acknowledged you can't manage him. They couldn't manage me during this scamdemic. Listen to me, man. See, Nui, you have I didn't need to get into all the phytonutrients and chemicals in it. You have the ability to go and read it and understand it. But I just saying, I don't know. I'll put it there whenever. I'll just drop it there to the desk or whatever. Let someone bring it there.
Oh, I'll come. You live near my own neighborhood. Leave your number and I'll call you and I'll come pick it up.
Listen, I don't know. Man, maybe you have a twin that cannot be separated.
I don't put my number on there because, you know.
Don't put it on there.
You have a whole producer who's
I can
there.
Drop it by the Guardian, by the desk, you know.
Drop it off to Guardian by the desk then. Right, I appreciate that.
52, don't forget that in times of trouble, you could saute your mulberry leaves and eat them. You could saute your mulberry and your passion fruit leaves if you need an emergency meal, right? And the key about local food is that the sooner you eat it from harvest, the more nutrients it retains, right? They lose nutrients exponentially from that harvest point. So you say to yourself, I only eaten leaves, what that could do for me, but those leaves are power-packed with nutrients that you need.
And I know you're going to ask one more question. And I want to know, is the carnival, the annual carnival, is that also a part of Bahamian Christmas culture?
I think carnival has become a part of Bahamian Christmas culture.
So when they cancel it, it's seemingly how they canceled John Crew too, right? Part of our culture was put on pause.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say that, barring the little bit of politics, it only the pandemic could have canceled that. Like if the government asked the Bahamian people, do they want carnival? The Bahamian people could say, yes, what do you mean? Do we want carnival?
Yeah. It won't be Christmas if you don't have it.
Right. Not just that, though. But this is a great space because it speaks to us, who we are, what we think of ourselves and what we think of each other. Carnival has become the thing for working class people. Right? It's a thing that people could afford to take their children to and have fun. Like a family may not be able to afford three or four or five tickets to go to a movie theater for a fancy movie experience.
I was going to ask for that next, but go ahead.
But carnival, the children could go out there with a little bit of money and have plenty of fun. And so it's become a part of our experience for particular classes of Bahamians. Equally as important as John Canoe for those Bahamians. It's what they do. It's what they could afford to do. And that's why this whole thing of charging money for every single part of John Canoe, I have a problem with that. Because John Canoe used to be the thing that the working class or the poor man could afford to do with his family. and afford to do with his children, because he didn't have to buy seats for them to go out there and have a good time. And we got to think about that when we're thinking about the ways we expand culture, the ways we preserve culture, the new sort of recreational activities that we create. Are they accessible to everybody, and to what extent? That's why I think this move by, I think the group, the Scrap Group, is the Chosen Ones. If I'm mistaken, forgive me. They are making their group accessible to differently abled people and people from the disabled community. And that is fantastic. Let's see, so you ready for another question?
I'm always ready for another question, man.
Okay. We did a lot of Bahamian questions yesterday. Do this question today. In total, how many gifts were given in the 12 Days of Christmas song? In that song, on, you know, on the first day of Christmas, how many gifts were given in total?
Okay. And it was 12. How much days? Okay. That's something to work out. That's a math. That's a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... Well, I would Google it. I was going to go Google it. It makes no sense guessing. Yeah. Just Google it one time and then quickly text or quickly call. And you know the callers take precedence unless it takes a long time. See, there's a caller already.
Yeah, we got a caller.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller?
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
12.
Incorrect.
Boy, that's why I was going to Google it, caller.
So all of the texters so far, your answers are incorrect.
Everybody's saying 12, hey? Everybody's saying. See, that was too easy. I thought it was too easy. So I said, I was going to go and Google it.
I got a 13.
But the caller, I would tell you, go and Google it quickly and call back.
Yeah, because the 13, the 15, the 24, the 36, I can give you all a hint. They are incorrect.
All of them incorrect. Yeah. Okay, so we wait on that. Okay, but this is my next question, right? And Yuletide season extends all the way to... January 1st, the New Year's Eve party, the New Year's Eve day box, New Year's Day, right? How many Bahamians are still attending church? When I was younger, you couldn't, New Year's Eve found you. And I'm seeing that there's a number of Bahamians now who are opting to go to Christmas parties, right? They have that countdown, which was a foreign concept, American concept. And I want to know, is that now a part of Bahamian culture, having that countdown?
The New Year's countdown.
The New Year's Day countdown. I mean, the countdown to New Year's Day.
Yeah. Well, I think the countdown in and of itself has always been a part of the culture.
Really?
It's just a question
parties?
Of where. No, not the parties. The countdown itself.
Okay.
Right? Because you go to church.
The watchman comes on.
And you, well, that's what watchman is. You're watching the clock for the countdown. I see we got a caller, though.
I see we got a caller. Yeah, yeah. Caller, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I called to answer the question.
Go ahead, ma'am.
364 gifts.
Yes, ma'am. You are correct.
364 gifts, though?
Yeah, 364.
On the 12 days, it's 364?
Right, on the first day, is one gift.
Uh-huh.
And the second day is two gifts. On the third day is three.
On the second day is
four. On the fourth day is four gifts.
Oh, yeah, four.
Like
five diamond rings.
I think you're supposed to be able to do like 12 to the X. Squared or something
I
like
never
that.
Never noticed. Caller, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, congratulations, by the way, because I did not know. I did not know. But you leave your name and your telephone number, hopefully a cell phone number so we can text you.
Oh, and one more thing, please. I want one.
52.
But miss, you miss me trying to sneak mine in.
If you could leave more than one. Yeah, these people want.
52, leave two.
I understand.
Please leave your name and number with the producer.
We'll text you when we pick up your prize and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Listen, so... I got a text here to read. It says, Aaron, I am 59 years old and Carnival was coming almost every year to Nassau. It used to be first be on Windsor Park East Street.
I did not know that.
And you know what that is? That's, what's that, University of Hard Knocks? No, it was University East Street.
Yeah, University of Wolf Road.
Wolf Road, University of Wolf Road. Yeah.
Few people know that. That's the University of Wolf Road.
Right. See, like, these are the things that we need to know.
Because
some bougie people from out east, right east of Montague, they would be like, but that's not Bahamian culture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. But just the fact that it'd been on Windsor Park East Street would suggest it'd been here a long time.
But you know, Carnival also was on, what is Wolf Road. What do I call it? The place where they parked the cars by Commonwealth Bank. That's Wolf Road. Yeah, that's Wolf Road. That's Wolf Road, too. Can you pass Windsor Park? Now you're heading towards east, going towards Bernard Road. And there, the carnival is right there, right there by Kemp Road, opposite Kemp Road, intersection and Wolf Road.
On that lot there now that they have the car lot?
Yeah, where they have the car lot. They had a carnival there 1 year too.
Wow. Okay, so I got a text. The countdown is Old Year's Night, bringing in the new year. Uh-huh. Text, and I got, you read that text. I got another text coming in on the other text line, Mr. Okay. Newry.
Actually, you got two text lines. Oh, yeah, that's countdown. You read that or read that there? It's a Hyundai. Yes, it was. It's just confirming where the carnival was at the Hyundai parking lot for the cars. Yes, I remember the carnival. I remember at one point in time, we had two different carnival persons or outlets or groupings who came at the same time. I remember that. And they said, hey, where we get that second carnival from? They like competing carnivals were here.
JPAC committee. That's the government thing. We need to know about, wow, because I figured that's the only place where you could get the proper records on that. Or we could call our friend Rap Arnold Wilson, the local historian. So somebody says, hold on, 364, are you just repeating the things that they got previously? No, I think when you do the math, the 12 on the 12, 364. That's what the people who pay tax say.
Go ahead.
I agree with them. There's somebody who was querying the total.
Okay, they have, but of course you get your answer from Google and you and register. That's the answer.
We trust Google. Yeah, that's where we vetted Sam Bankman.
Okay.
Free.
Do we have another question there that you want to ask?
Okay, one, you read you was going to choose a question.
And you choose
okay,
a question.
Okay, let's have a question about Kwanzaa. You ready?
I like Kwanzaa. You know, I'm a Pan-Africanist, so I get supported. Yeah.
How many days does the Kwanzaa celebration last? How many days does the Kwanzaa celebration last?
So up to Google. Go to the Google and take advantage of some. And we have some good people already calling already? We have some great prizes today, actually. And we can maybe perhaps list them later on. But anyway, let's go to the caller. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, go ahead, caller.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, how you doing?
I'm okay. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, how you do?
I love when you two guys get together. You should do it more often.
We don't have Wednesday Mashdown, but we could do it more often, yes, for sure.
That's why I said more often.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. 7 days.
Yes, ma'am. You got the correct answer.
You got 7 days is the correct answer?
Yes. Give the producer your name and number, and we will contact you and let you know what you won and how to collect it.
And now that the answers come out, I mean, the WhatsApp is going crazy. Everyone's saying 7 days. But the answer has already been given. And we are acknowledging the WhatsApp line. So if you put the answer first on WhatsApp, you'll see that Aaron will give you a consolation prize no matter what.
All right, one last question.
Again, tomorrow, Friday. I mean, I know I have the junk news thing, and I'm not sure if they confirm it yet, but on your show, you're going to have it?
Well, if we've got more prizes.
If we have more prizes, we do it.
We definitely do it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So you ready? Last question of the day. Which one of Santa's reindeers has the same name as another holiday mascot?
So one of the Santa Claus reindeers.
Why are you trying to help the people?
I'm trying to understand the question.
Which one of Santa's reindeers has the same name as another holiday mascot?
There was dum dum dum
dum dum dum dum dum. You try to get the people to answer, Cecil?
I'm trying to remember the poem, the song, you know. The most
deep. Okay. Look here, this boy is so helpful.
Yeah. Let's see, anyone... on the WhatsApp line has it?
Yes, somebody on the WhatsApp line got it before I even repeated it, man.
What I'll do is I'll throw in a prize and let's see if
the caller has the answer as well.
Go ahead, caller. Let's see it. And then the texter will get it, but we're willing to give the challenge to the caller too to get the next prize. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good day. Is it Cupid?
Yes, it is.
So you get a prize too, then, ma'am.
Thank you.
Because we get the texter. Who could text at the same time. And, of course, we saw the line blinking, so we definitely will extend something to you also.
All right. So
but don't hang up, though. Hold on.
Give the producer, and we will call you after the show, let you know what you've won and when and how to collect it.
That's good? Good.
Okay, Cecil, so, I think we had a total of 1, 2, 4. We had a lot of questions.
We had a lot of questions, and we had a lot of prizes.
Yeah. I don't know. I have 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, he ain't talking to us.
Oh, he ain't talking to us, Kermit, yeah.
But we had a number of prizes. We got someone on the phone line. Let's take them dead quick.
Go ahead, caller. How you doing?
Oh, they
That's Kermit, seven people. Okay.
There we go.
I enjoy this. And mind you, I think that part of Christmas is giving and prize giving. And so I'm always excited to be able to award our regular listeners who listens earnestly to us,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm happy about this. So I'm hoping that tomorrow we have more prizes, and that I'm hoping that next year we have bigger and better prizes. And thank you very much for our various sponsors too. And of course, Guardian, who sponsored us also.
Absolutely. So tomorrow, I know you want to read through the list of sponsors
far. Go ahead through the list of sponsors.
So we want to thank Craft Cottage Bahamas and Nadine and Fina for donating a $100 gift certificate to Healthy Lifestyle Deli for the opportunity for a lifestyle change, mm-hmm. or to continue eating what you love to eat. Healthy Lifestyle Deli themselves have donated a one lunch gift certificate. We had a greeting card gift from Leanne Key in Abaco, a local artist, and their handmade cards. Then we had a Seasonal Sunshine Bahamas Beloved Body gift set, which was locally made lotion and chapstick made with local aged refined beeswax. Then we had a Seasonal Sunshine and SG Ranch Fire in the Hole sampler gift set, which was a sample bottle of Carolina Reaper pepper sauce and goat pepper infused salt. Then we had a 3-foot avocado tree donated by Mr. L. Mins.
I could do with the avocado trees.
We have 5 journals donated by Sonia Farmer and Ponciana Paper Press. And we have 3 journals left to give away, possibly today.
Or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow. Okay. We were gifted 3 Guardian Radio 96.9 FM gift sets.
Nice.
From the station. Popeye's Conch Salad coupon.
Yes.
We had 3 gift certificates from the Cookie Caterer.
Yes.
We had 2 or 3 gift certificates from Drifters, Arawaki.
Yes, 2.
And then we've had a number of pepper sauces donated by C.A. Nuri's Kitchen.
And don't forget the gift certificate for Dunkin' Donuts, which came from Ian.
Right.
Ian Munnings, who's one of our...
We have the Anthology of Authors from the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Cultures, Bahamian Dialogues, for the December Cultural Heritage Month. And you can buy it at National Art Gallery of the Bahamas.
So we'll be texting all those persons who texted in and all those who called in and won prizes today. And then we'll announce what your prize is and we'll leave it at the desk for you and you just come and collect. Remember that Guardian closes today at 4 o'clock, the desk, and tomorrow at 12 noon. 12 noon, that's when the receptionist desk will close.
Absolutely.
Okay. So anyway, that's it. Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, thank you very much, Aaron Green.
Yeah, I know you didn't know it, but me and Kermit, the producer, we's playing Rake and Scrape versus Junkanoo Wars.
And who won?
I don't know. He's a Junkanoo man, but he's been playing this Rake and Scrape.
I like Rake and Scrape. And now we need to have that genre for that Rake and Scrape dancing. Now, don't worry about you, Kermit. Don't worry. You stay in the background. You say, I like Rake and Scrape.
He said Junkanoo.
No. We like Rake and Scrape. Is it a tie?
He says a tie.
I don't know, Rick and Scrape is what we
But I mean, he played one bad Junkanoo song just a minute ago.
Yeah.
No and problem. When you play Novi, it's Junkanoo all the way.
Yeah, when you play Novi, it's Junkanoo all the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, we see everyone tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Understand that rowing, cussing, fighting don't make you no real man. Somewhere along the road, boy, you'll have to grow up fast. This life of crime and violence is never gonna last. Cause crime doesn't pay.